Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 16. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila N.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Pandita Acharya Goswami.
Susrusho Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchihi Syam Mahatsevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishinanat. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Purport. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. There are men called Deva, or godly living beings, and there are men called Asuras, or demons, who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, a vivid description of the Asuras is given, in which it is said that the Asuras are put into lower and lower status, states of ignorance life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms and have no information of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. These Asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries according to the Supreme Will. Such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord. And when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the Asuras, and the demoniac followers of such Asuras also accept pretenders as God or his incarnation. In the revealed scriptures, there is definite information of the incarnation of God. No one should be accepted as God or an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to a particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself according to the indication of the revealed scriptures, but he played the part of a devotee. People who knew him to be God addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God, although undoubtedly he was God himself. The Lord behaves so to warn us against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with him in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. This is one in a series of very important verses which encapsulate the whole scope of Krishna conscious teachings. Here the how to attain a taste for hearing about Krishna, which is in itself Krishna consciousness, this is explained. If we can actually have a taste for hearing about Krishna, then naturally we'll want to serve Krishna. That is the perfectional stage of life. How to get that taste? Here it is mentioned that one should, with great faith and attention, serve those who already have a taste for hearing about Krishna. There are many how-to questions devotees often ask. How can we get a taste for hearing about Krishna? How can we become sincere? How can we get freed from material desires? How can we control the mind? How can we chant attentively? How can we be determined? There are many such questions. So the answers to such questions may be various, but one basic way in which all these questions can be answered, and that will be a correct answer in each case, is to associate with devotees who we perceive have the qualities that we don't have. In other words, if we want to become more determined, then it's very useful to associate with devotees who are very determined. If you want to get free from the fault-finding propensity, how do we get free from the fault-finding propensity? It is very useful to associate with devotees who we perceive as being free from that tendency. If we want to become, I mean, there are so many qualities that could be, should be attained by someone who is aspiring to serve the reservoir of all good qualities. If we want to become more regulated, then it's good to associate with devotees who are themselves well regulated, because Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha. Our desires develop to a large extent according to our association. Not exclusively, but to a large extent we are influenced by our association, especially if we have the motive to be thus influenced. That means that we should seek out association of advanced devotees with the aim of imbibing their qualities. Otherwise, many people can associate with advanced devotees and not really take advantage at all. We have the example of Prabhupada's family members. They were living with him for so many years, but they didn't imbibe the quality of Krishna consciousness, which was the central quality or the central characteristic of his whole life. Similarly, a devotee may be constrained to associate with non-devotees. So that generally that's not advised, because Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha. One's desires develop according to one's association. But if one is determined, even if he is by force of circumstances forced to live with and work and spend many hours every day with non-devotees, he won't be affected because of his strong determination not to do so. So one should associate with advanced devotees with the specific motive to serve them and hear from them faithfully, by which means one will be blessed with pure Krishna consciousness. This is the recommendation of this verse. Particularly, one will have a taste for hearing about Parsati, hearing about Krishna. Because simply to serve without actually developing a taste for hearing, that is insufficient. If we simply work in Krishna's service, that of course is very good. But if we don't always also try to develop a taste for hearing about Vasudeva, that will be incomplete, just like Prabhupada. He was recommending, of course he was very much pushing, that he wanted his disciples to distribute his books. So many devotees picked up that move. Yes, let's distribute Prabhupada's books. But then Prabhupada put in a word of caution that, are you also reading my books? It's not enough simply to distribute. One time Prabhupada said that, actually I'm writing these books particularly for the devotees. We go out and distribute these books to anyone and everyone. But actually the books are meant, of course they make devotees, but they're meant, Prabhupada, at one point he described that they're meant particularly for the devotees, for those who are already taking up Krishna consciousness, they can enter into it deeply, especially this Bhagavatam. It's not such easy. Bhagavad Gita also. It's not such easy philosophy that it can be understood very easily. But it can be especially understood by the devotees. So there should be a balanced approach. There should be service. Devotees should perform service to Krishna. And also, they should perform this other kind of service, which is hearing about Krishna or studying the philosophy of Krishna. So these two are not mutually exclusive. They are very much interlinked. If one serves the devotees or serves Krishna under the guidance of devotees, then Krishna will bless that person with a taste for hearing about him. On the other hand, it's not that one should simply serve. But there should be some balance where some time of day is kept. Every day, it may not be possible every day if one is extremely busy. But in general, some time should be set aside for studying Prabhupada's books. On the other hand, if one only studies and thinks, I'll just study, then he won't actually become advanced. I remember quite a few years ago in Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, the capital of Malaysia, in Asantala, that one young man, he moved into the temple. By that time, he had already read all the Prabhupada's books all the way through before joining. But he didn't want to do any practical service. We say practical service, not that reading is not practical. But practical means some physical service. He only wanted to read. So reading, and after some time he left and went away because his commitment was not there actually to serve, but only to amass this knowledge in a theoretical manner. It seemed like he wanted to be a great scholar or whatever. But service must be there. What are these books speaking about? Devotional service. As we know, Prabhupada translated the word bhakti not simply as devotion. Devotion is a vague term. But Prabhupada translated as devotional service. One has to serve the Supreme Lord. All service is directed at the Supreme Lord. Here it's mentioned that one should serve the devotees, but that service is directed at the Supreme Lord. Why should we serve the devotees? Why should we serve the devotees? He has recommended that we serve the devotees even more than Vishnu. So you may think, well, why should I serve devotees? Because they're ordinary people like me. We should serve Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's superior. But we should serve devotees. Why? Because Krishna becomes satisfied with our doing so. And actually, that's a fact. On the one hand, we should be careful not to treat advanced devotees, or especially one is supposed to serve one's guru, and there may be so many gurus. One has one Diksha Guru, and there may be so many. Whoever teaches us Krishna consciousness, that person is considered to be a guru, and according to the degree of that he teaches us, he may be considered relatively important in comparison with one's Diksha Guru. So there are various grades of gurus. Even we find the Avadhut Tathatraya in 7th canto of Bhagavatam. He was teaching Prahlad Maharaj how we can find in nature so many different gurus, and as much as we can learn so many points of transcendental knowledge just by seeing the behavior of different species of life. And so from nature, if we are very intelligent, we can deduce so many points of philosophical knowledge. So we should serve, particularly, we have to serve our gurus, we have to serve all the devotees. Why? We may think, well, they're ordinary people like me, but no. Krishna says, Madbhakta Puja Pyatika. When describing to Uddhava the process of worship, how one should perform puja with different items, ringing a bell, offering incense, offering a light, constructing a temple with gardens and nice facilities, not particularly so that the public will come and be attracted. That may be there. Sometimes we build nice temples, nice fountains, nice landscape gardens, So you may think the public will be attracted, but actually the temple, the nice surroundings and everything, that should be for the pleasure of the deity. Everything is for the pleasure of Krishna. If we build a nice temple with marble pillars and some of the nice finishing touches. So we may think, well, this will attract the public. That's true. But the real purpose is to build that for the service of Krishna, that he will have a very nice house to live in. So we have to serve devotees, knowing that their relationship is with Krishna, and Krishna, among all the different items of worship, build a nice temple, offer nice food to Krishna, worship him in arati, then offer so many nice clothes, there are so many things we can offer to Krishna. But Krishna says, of all the different items of worship, which he enumerates in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, so of all the different items of worship, Krishna says that most important is to worship my devotees. And there are many instances of this in Vaishnav history that we find in the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya. That there was, he himself was a great devotee. He was a head priest at Sri Rangam temple. So every day he would go to the Kaveri river for taking bath. And there was one devotee there singing the glories of the Lord. He was from a very low caste. So this head priest, thinking according to smarter rules and regulations, was thinking that he should keep a distance from me and not touch me because I'm the head priest and he's untouchable. So I have to remain ritually pure to worship the Lord. Otherwise that will be an offense in serving the Lord. So having taken his bath and done all his rituals, he went to the temple to open with the key, these big keys, this big, that's the length, and then I don't know what that part's called, up in this big, still there. So he found he wouldn't open. And no one could open it. It wasn't just something wrong with it, no one could open it. Then the Lord communicated from within the heart that to that head priest that you see you rejected that devotee of mine. Actually told him you shouldn't come onto this Sri Rangam temple. There's on one island within the Kaveri River which flows around it on both sides. So he told him you shouldn't come over, you should stay on that side because you're from a low caste. Then you will contaminate the whole place. So the Lord was not pleased. Actually, the head priest was also a great devotee, otherwise how was the Lord speaking to him? So, but actually these are the rules and regulations of deity worship. But, so he was following that very strictly. But the Lord wasn't pleased because he said, actually this is a great devotee. So the head priest was falling down and praying to the Lord. He could understand there's some offense. What have we done wrong, please? The Lord is not allowing us to worship him. So the Lord communicated to him that, yes, this is the offense. You have offended my devotee. He was singing my glories. He was thinking he's from a lower caste. So you can mitigate this offense and then I'll be happy to accept your worship. If you carry him on your shoulders, bring him to the temple, and then I will listen to him sing. I appreciate his singing. So to carry, for a high-class brahmana to carry on his shoulders someone from such a low caste, that is considered, from the brahmana's point of view, highly socially reprehensible and unacceptable. So the Lord wanted to show through this pastime that he is not so much attracted or pleased by the ritualistic worship, even of very great devotees. But whoever has got actual or very pure devotion in his heart, even though he may appear to be from a very disqualified background, that the Lord accepts such worship. And in fact, in this case, he wasn't ready to accept the worship of the high-class brahmanas with all their rituals and mantras, which also, when performed for the pleasure of the Lord, are pleasing to the Lord. We shouldn't reject ritualistic processes and mantras and so many things due to our own incapability to perform them. But we should know that these, when employed in the service of the Lord, are very pleasing to the Lord. But in this instance, the Lord, he wanted more than the mantras and ritualistic ceremonies of worship. He wanted to accept these simple prayers, not even composed in Sanskrit, but very simple prayers of his great devotee. So in this way, the Lord has taught through many instances that devotees, they're very much to be respected and served. And often when we hear this, we think, yes, yes, very big devotees, big name devotees, they should be served and respected. But actually, if we develop this vision that anyone coming to Krishna consciousness, they are an exalted personality, which is a fact. That is a fact that we see this Krishna consciousness movement is preached all over the world. And unfortunately to date, only a few rare souls have taken that up very seriously. So devotees, they're very special people. Due to the principle that familiarity breeds contempt, we may start to think, well, it's just an ordinary devotee. But there's no such thing actually as an ordinary devotee. All devotees are extraordinary because they are dear to Krishna. Anyone who executes devotional service with even a tinge of sincerity, that devotee becomes far more pleasing to Krishna than even one who goes to some temple and gives ₹1,000,000 or $1,000,000 or whatever donation. But if he does so ostentatiously with the desire that others will see me and they will praise me as being a very great philanthropist, whatever, then that is not at all actually very pleasing to Krishna. He is more pleased by the simple expression of sincere and genuine devotional service, even from the most simple of his devotees. And this is a very important principle. Associating with devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has included it among the 5 most important processes of devotion. So associating with devotees doesn't mean simply to see them and say, hello, how are you? How's the weather today? Or any such thing. But to associate with devotees specifically means to serve them and to serve with them, that together we perform various activities, especially those related to preaching Krishna consciousness. This is the Sankirtan movement. Bahu Militva Yat Kirtanam Iti Sankirtanam. When many devotees come together and glorify the Lord, that is called Sankirtan. If one person glorifies the Lord, that may be called Kirtan, but when many come together, that is called Sankirtan, which means group Kirtan, or more perfect, or more complete Kirtan. So, herein it is recommended that we associate with and serve devotees. The opposite of service is disservice. So, we should be careful not to ignore, neglect, or mistreat the devotees. But we should know that devotees are all very great souls, especially here in Galway. There are not so many devotees as compared to other places. Of course, there are more than... It may be less than in some places, but on the other hand, it's more than in other places. So, if you are, for instance, recently I was corresponding with one man from Palestine, and his only association with devotees is by the internet. So he's not in such a good situation as you are, as regards devotee association.
at least there's some association.
So, you can understand that's very valuable. Every devotee is very precious. Actually, every devotee is very dear to Krishna. The fact that anyone is chanting Hare Krishna, that is very pleasing to Krishna. And we should cooperate with the devotees, associate with devotees, serve the devotees. And by doing so, we ourselves will advance in Krishna consciousness. And also we want to give others the chance to develop their taste. Vasudeva Kataruchi. We want to give the others the chance to develop a taste for Krishna consciousness. So, apart from we may consider ourselves devotees or aspiring devotees, apart from performing our own activities of Krishna consciousness, we should give others the chance to come to Krishna consciousness, not by walking out into the high street in Goa and saying, look, here I am, I'm a devotee, serve me, and you will become advanced. But rather by performing the function of a devotee, which is to go among the people and preach the message of Krishna. And in this way, whatever we have learned from other devotees, we should try to communicate that to others in a humble method. If one is not humble, then not a devotee at all. We should try to communicate this to others and in this way perform our function as a devotee. Devotee is meant to serve the Lord. And in the modern age, that service, that particularly takes the form of activities within the Sankirtan movement. So, however few you may be, you can always come together and chant the holy names of Krishna in public, in your homes also, in public also, especially in public, that is very dear to Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who introduced this Yuga Dharma of preaching Sankirtan. Just recently, two of my God brothers were telling me how they were traveling around someplace in the western part of England, and the two of them were doing Sankirtan. Means they were chanting in the streets, and they would have some books and things, and if they saw anyone's a little interested, and one of them would go on chanting, the other would speak to the other and sell them a book. So in this way they were going around and spreading the Sankirtan movement. And there are many, many, all over the world, instances of this. We see the Krishna conscious movement is spread to so many places. Even if you look in the list, in the Bhakti Godhead, in the list of centers, or if you look in the Vyasa Puja book, you'll find the devotees from, and there'll be the name of a city you never heard of. It's only the name of a country you never heard of. So this is the power of the Sankirtan movement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual desire is manifesting in so many different places all over the world by the noble efforts of devotees to go among the non-devotees and introduce Krishna consciousness. And in this way, the number of devotees increases and people can take more and more and more to Krishna consciousness. And this is very pleasing to the Lord. And the more the number of devotees increases, then the more opportunity there is for others to take to Krishna consciousness. So this is really the duty of all devotees, especially in places where there aren't many devotees. Then it is up to those who are there to take the initiative and do whatever they can to spread Krishna consciousness among the people. Especially now we have this Bhagavatam, seems to be mass printed, so it's a very good opportunity to spread this knowledge of Krishna consciousness by distributing these books. If we give this Bhagavatam, it's a very big hunk, big dose of Krishna consciousness for anyone who takes it. Of course, they're written in such a way that it's easy, the manner of presentation is quite simple. The language is very simple. But at the same time, the philosophy is so deep that anyone who takes this book and starts to read it, and there are many, many such cases, then they'll find there's something very wonderful in here, but I'm not quite sure what it is because it's not so easy to understand without guidance or help from devotees. So those who are fortunate enough to have taken the devotional service, they should make themselves available to others so that others can come and ask questions and be guided on the path back to Godhead. There are everywhere people who are interested in Krishna consciousness. Yesterday you were telling me this. Indrajumna Maharaj, he was going through an airport, and at the security check, one lady said, "Well, what's all this about? Can you tell me?" And despite the displeasure of her supervisor, she went away and sat at the side for some time, and Indrajumna Maharaj explained. So there are no shortage of people interested in Krishna consciousness. It's different to when this movement was being begun in the 60s and 70s, where it was difficult, actually, in those days to find... Well, in many places it was difficult to find people who were very much interested. It seemed that, according to the descriptions in the Prabhupada Lilamrita, especially in the west coast of America in the 1960s, there were many people who were somewhat interested. At least some, at the very least, we could say some kind of passing interest or superficial interest or curious or whatever. But many people, the hippies, they were willing to take up the chanting of Hare Krishna. But my personal experience distributing books in England in the mid-1970s, that very few people were actually interested. And even in Ireland, though we distributed many books at that time, that we weren't actually going among the people and trying to cultivate people's Krishna consciousness. Now we find there is actually very, very good interest all over the world. And it seems here, especially in Galway, although it's not a very big town, growing town, but many people, they know at least something, what is Hare Krishna, their interest. Just as passing out the flyers, and people were asking, well, seeing Julie's Hotel, what's it called? And they were saying, well, where is it? They want to go. And even a group of older people, I guess, my age, they just spoke to me for a few minutes and said, and very appreciatively saying, oh, you're with a traveling group of Hare Krishnas, is it? And I was explaining to them a little bit. So definitely there's a very good scope for spreading Krishna consciousness. So despite your household responsibilities, which no doubt take up much of your time, I know you're also very eager to preach Krishna consciousness. I'm simply trying to encourage you. It's a very sweet preaching field. People are interested to take this up. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu somehow or other sent you here. So now you please fulfill his order and see what you can do to spread Krishna consciousness in this town here. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Comment on any such thing?
Rumors and by your mercy, I'm distributing the Bhagavatam, and sometimes devotees say, well, you know, it'd be better to distribute a smaller book. Maybe people would understand it more. But then we know that Prabhupada didn't come to the West until he had the first three cantos of Bhagavatam translated. So why is it Bhagavatam that's in this way?
And Prabhupada also, he said that he is, at one point, of course it's not that he was displeased by small books being distributed, but he emphasized, especially when the big books distributed. Well, why the Bhagavatam? Because Tadvavisargo janatāga viplavo yasmin pati shlokam avadavatyapi namānyanantasya ishongitān yach trinvanti gayanti gananti sadhava. In the Bhagavatam itself, it stated that this literature will create a revolution in the misdirected lives of a sinful population. And even though it may not be properly presented, even though it may not be the grammatical presentation or whatever, it may not be 100% perfect, but those who are sincere, honest persons, they will accept this presentation of Bhagavatam, you know, hear and chant it. Also in Bhagavatam it stated, Krishna is Swadhamo Bhagata, Dharma Gyana Divisaha, Kalo Nashadrishamesha, Purana Akamadanadit, that Krishna, at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, he departed from this world, and Krishna is the very embodiment of religious principles and spiritual knowledge. So now that Krishna has gone away, persons who are in the darkness of ignorance in this very dark Kali Yuga, they will get light from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is just like the sun. So Bhagavatam has got special importance. All the books are important, there's no doubt. But definitely when people get Bhagavatam, they can understand this. There's Sanskrit verses, translation, commentary. So they can understand, just by seeing this, they can understand that this is something very serious, very deep, and very authorized. You can understand, this isn't, you know, a James Bond novel or something like that. This is something very serious. So all the books are important, there's no doubt. But he was very interested, especially with his big books being distributed. All over the world, I think the book that's been distributed most is Bhagavad Gita, as it is. In India, certainly. Even though in India we've distributed we've probably distributed as many Bhagavad Gitas as all the other books put together. And even though we've distributed so many Bhagavad Gitas, still we go on just distributing more and more and more. So these books, they have their effect. And anything else?
Maharaj, you stressed association. I just want to say, please come back. Please.
Well, please pray that I can come back. I don't know. See, devotees are passing away left, right and center here, eagerly running back to Godhead. So pray for the protection of this particular bag of bones that I'm situated in, and I'll be happy to come back. Hare Krishna. So we finish the short program. Hare Krishna.
What do you want for breakfast? You want fruit or soup?
Fruit?
Or soup or something? It's a kaddish.
Yeah, I'll take some soup. Yeah. It's good for this cold weather. Yeah. Cold is just beginning. It's not as cold as Russia or Ukraine.
No?
No, now it's not cold. I just came from Russia.
No, it's tough cold.
Did it? Yeah. Well, I just came from Russia. It was about the same as London. Unusually warm, about 20, something like that. But yeah, usually around the beginning of October in Russia, the cold begins.
You soon going back to India?
After 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
I'm going back to Russia. Then there's a festival. The biggest. It's the biggest ISKCON festival in the world, actually, in terms of numbers of devotees attending. Last year it was over 3,000 devotees. And I think there were about 15 ISKCON gurus came. They didn't all stay for the full 5 or 6 days. But most of them did. And it'll be the same this year, maybe 3,500 devotees.
Which city is it held?
It's in a seaside resort on the Black Sea. It's called Divna Mosque, which means divine sea. When we were there last time, just when we arrived, some Russian passenger plane got shot down by the Ukrainians, fell in the Black Sea and killed them all. Just for your information, if you're interested. So that's how it became a little bit famous. It's a well-known resort.
in Russia, I mean among Russians.
So they particularly have it there because there's one particular hotel with a huge hall.
And where are you going to put that? Even then you can't put 3,500 devotees in there.
2,000 can fit.
Okay. They have lots of big kirtans.
So, Hare Krishna. You can have a festival like that in Galway sometime.
Well, actually, Tirunelveli used to have big festivals.
Used to have big festivals,
people
yeah.
used to come.
Yes.
That big hall.
What's it called?
The
town hall.
In Galway.
Yeah, a few hundred people used to come there.
Yeah, well, if it's organized, it can be done. But it's a lot of work and it's money also.
You would have a party going around on Sankirtan there for a week or for 2 weeks.
Right, yeah.
He used to sleep in the vans, distribute leaflets. Some boys were doing this. And he used to do big color posters.
It's a big... It's a big job to organize and to do. But the Giridhari and company, they're going on. But I think they're mostly in England and Africa, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're not coming to Ireland, is it?
Not right now.
There's good scope. Jananand Prabhu was telling me they were just... It's short notice. They did a program in Ipswich, which is... He was telling me it's a conservative town. I've never been there, actually. But they said they had 200 people there anyway, and they're very interested. There's tremendous scope.
Especially in this town, it draws young people. Mm. Because in the summer they have arts festivals. And all the people are just like last night, they're really friendly and open and simple.
Yeah.
And, you know, like two of those girls you just gave leaflets to on the street, you gave me a leaflet. Then that man, he was a bit strange, but in the yellow jacket, he
yeah, yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Like last minute, you can just get them in, no problem. Mm. You know, there's just enough people to go out and do it. And then they just come.
Yeah, there are a couple of girls that were asking, where is it? And this
yeah.
point. And they came.
Nice.
Huh?
Yeah. Two young
girls. Yeah, people from all over. There was that man in the yellow jacket? He was Irish or what?
He looked Irish.
Irish.
He wasn't Irish.
Yeah.
He looked Irish.
We had Irish. Irish. You should know. Yeah. One American girl was there?
Yeah. They really looked
Swedish.
Here.
Swedish. German, there was all over the world.
Venezuela, Armenian.
Every program.
Everyone comes to Galway.
There have been people from all over the world. It's amazing.
You meet people in Galway that you've never heard of places where they live. I don't know why. It's just drawn like from all over the world.
Yeah. It's incredible. That's very merciful.
Well, it's all... Actually, it's all Krishna. Ultimately, Krishna is the reservoir of all mercy. We have to carry the mercy that's coming down in parampara. We may be crippled ourselves, but somehow if we hold the mercy, we can bring it along. Just have to be careful not to fall. Even if we fall over, the mercy will all spill out.
You already made one devotee discouraged.
She just made herself a devotee. She just came along and started chanting.
Yeah, well, there has to be someone just there to you know, dispense
so
the mercy, that's all. And they can pick it up. What's the name? Sabina.
She put up all the posters and did something.
Sounds like an Indian name.
Yeah. She's Swiss.
Is that a German name or something?
Yeah. German. She did leaflets. It's very nice.
You have a center in Galway.
Yeah,
need a center. Okay, do it. Jai, Hare
Krishna. So we need Kalyani here for the center.
No, actually, all over the world, there's a tremendous preaching field, and we don't have enough devotees, actually, to go out and do the preaching work. And even that, we need someone to take it up. The interest is there, but how to follow it through.
It's always nice to have senior devotees. You know, if it comes, it's so nice.
Well, you all have to become senior. You are senior to those who are coming newly. Because the number of Prabhupada disciples, it's not increasing. Although the number who are going up in the preaching field is gradually increasing because many of them are coming out of family life and then they're going, they're getting older now and their kids are grown up so they're able to come up. But practically to the people who are just there newly coming, it doesn't make any difference to them whether you've been in the movement, 30 years or 30 days. If you could tell them to chant Hare Krishna, to them it's all, it's not that everything just rests in so-called senior devotees. Everyone can preach. So you don't have to, you don't have to wait for some super, maha, mega Parivrajaka Acharya to descend. Pick it up and go.
I remember when we learned.
And even the super, maha, mega Parivrajaka Acharya and all this, I mean, some are very charismatic and powerful figures, but most of us are just some, what you might call some normal person who somehow or other got bombarded with a dose of Prabhupada's mercy and just going on chanting Hare Krishna. And so. But, we're all from a similar kind of background problem. That's what I thought when I first joined the temple at the manor. I didn't really join, I was kind of forced, literally forced to stay there. Not by the, by circumstances. I cycled there. Then my bike got a puncture and I didn't have any warm clothes and it started snowing. And so I was literally forced to stay there. So then they gave me these beads and told, you have to chant 16 rounds. I thought, how can I do that? And I looked around at all the devotees and I thought, they didn't all descend from the moon or anything. They're all coming from similar backgrounds to me. If they can do it, I guess I can do it too. So that's it. Anyone can tell others chant Hare Krishna, speak of the philosophy. It's not such a very difficult thing.
Not for you, Maharaj.
Yeah.
No, it's what you're doing. You're already doing. Yeah. So just continue to do it.
So. But you're a great inspiration. When you come, we get strength to go on.
And go on. That's also our function. Prabhupada disciples especially. And like I say, we may, in many ways, we may be just doing the same as others. And in many ways, disciples of Prabhupada's disciples, in many cases, may be doing much more even than directly Prabhupada's disciples are doing. But that's, because we're by default senior or whatever. So that's our duty to